Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service. Catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations standpoint. This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
Yama, I'm Bo Spearham, Gamilaroi, Kuma and Marawari, and welcome to Let's Talk. I would like to acknowledge the country on which we are broadcasting from and also to. I would also like to pay my respects to our elders and also young people who are tuning in via the National Indigenous Radio Service NIRS or listening to us via our website 989fm.com.au. It is great to have your company. Just recently on the program, I've been having chats with people about the importance of cultural heritage and the significance of our areas. You know, just recently I spoke with some mob up in Gympie in regards to sacred trees, grinding grooves, and also in regards to the extension of a four-lane highway going through the site. Some of our listeners may be well aware of the Japarong trees. You know, I would regularly talk to the mob down there, the protectors, as they would like to be referred to as, in regards to what they were doing, protecting a directional tree. Well, on the program this morning, I will be chatting with a First Nations man who I interviewed earlier this morning, who is a Ngunnawal man, and his nation borders on the New South Wales and also the ACT border, goes over. And we have a chat about pretty much the same thing, cultural heritage. How important is it to people outside of our community? And I bring my guest in. My guest is Uncle Wally Bell.
Yuma, hello. Yeah, my name's Wally Bell. I'm a Ngunnawal man. I'm considered to be a knowledge holder as well. So I've been looking after culture and country for at least the last 40 years.
Deadly. Awesome, Uncle, that is as well. You know, we're very lucky, you know, to have people like yourself. And, you know, we have many, you know, of our mob in different parts of the country. You know, just recently on the program, and I don't know if you saw on social media as well, with the police descending on a camp up here, just about 3 hours, 2.5 hours from Brisbane, and a place called Gympie, you know, a host of police officers with Queensland Transport and Roads went in, gave the orders, and, you know, essentially, you know, arrested these mob. First up, could you tell us whereabouts the location of these trees are and their significance, please?
Yeah, look. If you know the Barton Highway, it's sort of like a major connector road between the Hume Highway into the ACT. Now, where the road crosses the border, the ACT New South Wales border, is where the works commence from. So that's from there up to another tributary road that they call Caveney's Road. Is the northern extent of that what they call stage one development. Now, it's a staged approach, of course. They can't do it all at once. So we're actually looking at stage one at the moment. Now, that alignment has already, well, there's two registered ring trees right on the ACT New South Wales border, which are going to be protected. Now, primarily because they're under New South Wales heritage legislation, they're registered, so they have to be protected. But that point, those two trees as well, there's a bit of a dilemma, I think, in the fact that they're going to leave them in place, which they have to do. If they weren't registered, I think they would have bulldozed them, sort of thing. But anyway, they're going to leave them in a median strip in between two major carriageways. Now, those trees need the natural water flow to be able to survive. And so there's a gully line that runs right next to them. Now, with the establishment of a new carriageway, I believe they're going to disrupt that water flow to those trees, so that they won't, in the long term, they won't survive. You know, plus you put all the pressure of trying to live in the middle of two major roads with all the traffic fumes and all that sort of stuff. You know, they're destined not to survive. So then that's those two trees right on the ACT New South Wales border. So further up then, Caveney's, the intersection of Caveney's Road and the Barton Highway again. Well, there's actually eight cultural trees there, but one clump of them, there's seven of them all together. One's a scarred tree, one's a ring tree, and the other five are what we call our spirit circle. Now, for people that don't know how we do stuff here on country, we have what we call spirit circle because it's a natural formation of trees. The Barton Highway itself, just to put it into context, I guess, is primarily where our pathway led, because my people, the Ngunnawal, and my clan group, the Yar, we actually come from a place called Yass. Now, that we used to journey from Yass up to Cooma, and that was our pathway to on that journey.
Yeah, I've heard of Yass,
Yeah. So we used to camp at this place, and where the what we call the spirit circle is a good camping site, and that's, you know, we're not making this up because it's knowledge that's been handed down. You know, we've been told that by other elders about that camping spot.
Can I ask a question, Unc? You mentioned, you're mentioning some very significant things. One thing that sort of caught my attention was, these are registered sites. What sort of constitutes a registered site, and how do we go about, making a site registered? And then once it is registered, what protections does it have, for things like this? Like up in Gympie, these were significant sites. They were identified by, local mob. Sadly, they had, an Aboriginal independent investigator determine that they weren't significant or as significant. Like we saw in Victoria at Japarong, with the tree, you could, that was, you could have a physical and sort of mental image in terms of, what a direction tree looks like. That gave you sort of, when looking at it, you knew it was important. So yeah, back to my question, what sort of constitutes a registered site, and how do we go about protecting it and keeping it protected?
Yeah, look, for a long time, like I said, I've been doing cultural heritage for a long time. How do I explain it? There's different legislation in different, states and territories and things like that. In the ACT, it comes under the ACT heritage. So the ACT government's got their own heritage legislation, which dictates how cultural features and things like that are protected within the ACT. Now, out in New South Wales, the same thing applies. They've got New South Wales Heritage, and they've also got their own legislation. So, for some strange reason, legislation is not consistent right across the whole of Australia. It's different everywhere you go.
Oh, definitely.
Depending where you are in on the Australian continent, what sort of legislation you have to work to. In New South Wales, as one of the registered Aboriginal parties, the New South Wales Heritage, contact me in relation to any impacts that are going to occur on country, you know, such as this Barton Highway duplication. So part of that then means that we have to do a cultural heritage assessment of the planned carriageway and the route that it's going to be taking. So with that in mind then, registered sites are sites that have gone through that through the process. So we go out, we do a cultural heritage assessment. We might find some new ones that haven't been, you know, that we don't know about. But there are some that we do know about, but we don't talk about for their own protection. So the new ones that we come across then, they're assessed not only by us as Aboriginal people, talking about our own culture, but they're also assessed by, say, a qualified archaeologist who do cultural heritage works as well. Not only Aboriginal cultural heritage, but historical or whatever you want to call it, sort of cultural heritage as well. Now, they also then engage a qualified arborist to come out as well and sort of tell us, yeah, look, you're right, you know, that is a scarred tree. You know, we know it is, of course, but then, you know, government agencies such as Transport for New South Wales have to, I guess, tick boxes.
Mm.
So that's sort of the process that it goes through. But that in itself, to me, is also looking at, by getting these other people to come in, the people that are running the show for the Barton Highway duplication, they're not willing to take everything that we tell them about on face value.
Mm.
Yeah, they're not experts on our culture because they know nothing about it.
Well, isn't that one of the saddest processes that we have to sort of explain to people, you know, our identity, who we are, the importance, our connection to country, as well. And you know, as you mentioned, you know, the Cultural Heritage Act varies in each sort of state and territories as well. You know, just recently I had a yarn with some mob, from, Newcastle, and, there's a mining company, that wants to mine on an old homestead, which was the place of a massacre, and the local mob there wanted to, you know, register this as a cultural site because it would have been before, but also as sort of like a historical site as well because of the gravity of, because of the nature of all what happened as well. And, you know, my guest then spoke about, you know, wanting to sort of reform not just cultural heritage in New South Wales, but, you know, revamping it all over the country, because we see countless times, you know, I guess an easy way to put it, the goalpost continuing to change, you know, to suit sort of mining company, government, sort of local or state departments wanting to just roll ahead with, you know, whatever plans they do have.
Yeah, you see that approach all the time. You know, like I said, I've been doing cultural heritage management for a long time now, and a lot of the things that we've seen happen, you know, are quite, well, put it bluntly, quite disgusting. We go out and we do things in good faith. Now, we tell people about, you know, some of our significant places. Now, because they're just natural features in the landscape, people, you know, even when my father was alive and he was doing the same sort of thing, well, one of the things he pointed out to one of these archaeologists one day was about a burial site. And this archaeologist, for some strange reason, just didn't believe believe my father, and he said, can you prove that it's a burial site? You know, we had, you know, a stone
what
mound.
Buried, you know, what like start digging up, you know, bones and sort of art. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the sort of approach that this archaeologist was sort of. Seems like that's the way he wanted to go. But my father just stood his ground and said, "No, look, I'm a senior elder of the Ngunnawal people. I know this is a burial site, you know, and I've been here many times before, and there's no way in the world we're going to dig it up just to prove that it is, you know." So in the end, the archaeologist then conceded the fact that it was a burial site. So, you know, it's those sort of things that happen all the time with our cultural heritage management works that we do. You know, we sacrifice a lot of our culture just for the benefit of residential development as well. You know, like we have so many, our occupation of this place in particular has been scientifically proven at 25,000 years. So you can then imagine, or you know then that that occupation, a lot of the country is going to be used, and there's going to be evidence of that occupation all over the place. Things such as, you know, artifact scatter sites, ceremonial sites, stone, which are stone arrangements and things like that. You know, so those things for a long time weren't even been given any consideration. So they used to get bulldozed in whatever development was taking place. So it's only, you know, the last, you know, I don't know, 10 years, 15 years that they've been even considering Aboriginal culture at all. So, you know, they're learning, but the rate of picking up what we're teaching them from our cultural heritage assessment is really, really slow, mainly because that they go through a university, because we go out with qualified archaeologists most of the time, and they go through a university, which I think fail in making that connection between country and Aboriginal people. There's no way that they can develop a proper cultural understanding. And that's what's happening in this case as well. Because the people that are doing the Barton Highway upgrade also are non-Aboriginal people. So they don't really understand the culture. And no matter how many times you go out on country with them and you point things out to them and you explain to them what it is and how we use it and all that sort of thing, you know, give them the whole background. Sometimes that's a bit difficult to do in relation to our cultural practice as well, because when you look at doing, you know, men's business stuff and women's business stuff, there's, you know, it's quite difficult to explain, because that's why we also try to always have a male rep and a female rep on country during those assessments as well. So so it's a long and slow process, but you know, like I said, they're really, really slow on the uptake. But what are the things then about the Barton Highway upgrade is that at Caveney's Road, there was a property owner there that, like I said, we go out and do cultural heritage assessment. We show people what things are on there, and then also in that process, we might find something new as well. But in this case, we knew about the spirit circle, so it was just a matter of us getting access to this property, and the property owner just wouldn't allow transport from New South Wales access to her property, because she didn't want them going through it. So she was taking legal action to prevent them from they were going to take half her property.
Did you get were you in relationship with this individual before, or were you allowed to sort of come on and just, you know, outside of sort of what transport was doing, like, could you just come on and sort of in do your own investigation and sort of looking at, you know, other things that may be there as well?
Yeah, look, we knew what was there, but we just didn't have access to that property. to show the what would you call them, authorities, for want of a better word, about what was there. We couldn't access our property. Now, to in New South Wales, on the New South Wales Heritage, to impact any Aboriginal cultural feature during any works, there has to be what's called an Aboriginal Heritage Impact Permit, AHIP. Now, for some reason, Transport for New South Wales, they have to make an application to the Department of Primary Industry and Energy, where New South Wales Heritage sits under them. They make an application damage any cultural features that might be part of their upgrade process. Now, the strangest part about this is that property, because we couldn't get access to it, was not assessed. Yet the Transport for New South Wales actually put a blanket AHIP over the area from that area right through for all the stage one development. So, you know, how they could put in that AHIP without having done a proper assessment of that area, I just don't understand that process. Because in the way I see it is that Transport for New South Wales then pulled the wool over the eyes of New South Wales Heritage by not giving them the full and complete facts.
Isn't that illegal?
Well, I'm actually engaged the Environmental Defender's Office in New South Wales.
Mm-hmm.
They've got lawyers that have sort of found that part of the process then might have been breached.
Mm-hmm.
And they've actually written to both Transport for New South Wales and New South Wales Heritage to clarify that point. Can they actually put in AHIP without doing a proper assessment?
Well, Unc, you know, I know we're stretched for time as well. I've got, like, you know, just a few more questions. And this sort of side of it, what I wanted to ask is, you know, I wanted to sort of talk about this now. Like, you know, is there sort of a legal avenue that you're going down at the moment, which you just mentioned with the Environmental Defender's Office in New South Wales? I know I've heard of them. I know that they've been involved on my country, and Gumaroi country, you know, to protect against various different mining companies in the past, and I think currently as well. Where does sort of, I guess, the local government sort of sit? You know, because I guess, well, firstly, does your mob border on ACT and New South Wales, or is mainly just in the ACT side?
No, look, our customary boundary then, you know, I'll call it, is it includes all of the ACT.
Mm.
So the Ngunnawal country covers an area of 17,000 square kilometres, and that includes the whole of the ACT.
So then in regards to, you know, well, I guess you'd be approaching sort of both sort of state and territory governments in relation to sort of what is happening. What is, you know, any dialogue? You know, are they willing to come to the table? Are they wanting to stop this destruction as well?
Yeah, it's a difficult one to work through because it's right on the ACT New South Wales border that where it begins. And practically all the work's going to take place in New South Wales. The only bit of that's going to happen in the ACT is where they join up with the current road that comes out of the ACT, which is a dual carriageway already, and that's the only part that's got any effect on the ACT. Now the two ring trees on the border there are right on the border, if you know what I mean. So they're considered to be more in New South Wales than the ACT.
Mm. Does the Cultural Heritage Act side of things, you know, does that work in any favour, being that it's sort of borders on both sides of, you know, ACT, New South Wales border, or does it make it difficult because you're having to go back and forth, you know, to look at different legislations or acts?
Like I said in the beginning, there's different legislation, different government. You've got New South Wales government, you've got ACT government. And over all that, you've also got federal government. The ACT government, we work pretty well with, and they fully support us in all that we do in relation to looking after our culture. New South Wales, they're a different kettle of fish, I think. I think the main driver behind a lot of the stuff that happens in New South Wales, any developments or whatever, is always the bottom dollar, you know?
Yeah.
So to make a variation to the, and then that's what we're seeking at Caveney's Road is at both points really, where the ring trees are on the border and the cultural trees are on Caveney's Road. What we're seeking is a variation to the road to push it out to the eastern side of the current carriageway, and that is a movement of, you know, at the most 30 metres.
It's funny you mention that as well, because that's sort of the same thing in regards to, I think, what, you know, the mob down in Victoria wanted, you know, in regards to sort of protecting, you know, Japurung cultural heritage, you know, was saying, you know, can you just shift it so much, you know, so these significant things, you know, are still intact, you know. It's just... it's sort of ridiculous in terms of, you know, how we have to sort of continue to pull our hair out and tell these people, one, not just the significance of it, but then also, two, you know, proposing sort of, you know, like another route as well. This is my last question, and I'll let you go. How can people support, you know, where can people go to find more information?
Facebook's a good place because I'm working in conjunction with what we call a catchment group. Now, the catchment group and I'm a member of that catchment group as well, and that's in the ACT, but they're called the Jindindira Catchment Group. Now, they've actually got up a Facebook site, and they've got a petition up on there, and which people can log into and get a more information about what's happening, and then if they wish, they can then sign up to join that petition to oppose the current works that they're doing. I don't know if I said it before, but one of the things that we don't want to do is prevent those road works from or the upgrade of the new Barton Highway sort of thing. We're not about stopping the works and stop, you know, because we know it's essential. And, you know, like as a local sort of resident, I've driven that road all my life, and I know it's a difficult road to drive, and public safety is essential in relation to travelling on that road. And you know, like we don't want to prevent that from being upgraded so that people are safe driving from, you know, Yass to Canberra. All I'm about is the protection of my culture, because we've lost so much of it so far that, you know, the little bit that we can save now is going to be there for posterity, for our next generations to value as well.
What I'll do, Unc, is when we get off air, I'll get you to tell me that name, that Facebook page again. Give me the spelling, because then what I will do is I'll upload it as an internal link in the podcast. So anybody listening, if they want to know where to go, they can just head to our website, and there'll be a link to the podcast to that site where people can go in and sign a petition as well. Just really quickly, for my guest, if you are just tuning in, my guest this morning on the program, Uncle Wally Bell, Ngunnawal man, joining us on. We're having a chat about saving cultural trees for future generations. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM. If you've enjoyed the program, just remember, go to our website at 98.9fm.com.au for the links towards the podcast, and catch the repeat at 7 p.m. tonight. And as always, it's a pleasure. You've been listening to Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM, Murray Country.